We begin the current daf in Masechet Pesachim daf Chof Ches. We begin 10 lines down from the top of the Amud, where the Gemara continues discussing our Mishnah daf Chof Alf. And that was in the previous daf we discussed the first of two opinions in our Mishnah regarding how can one do beer chametz. How is the process of elimination of chametz allowed on Erev Pesach? Rabbi Yehuda said only with sreifa, for the only way you could do it is with burning. And the Rabbanan's opinion, the Chacham, is where we continue now. Chacham the Chacham say, which was mentioned in our Mishnah, Mifar v'zeir v'chulu, that first one crumbles the chametz, then one throws it to the wind. Or the Mishnah concludes over there, or one throws it into the sea. So Ibailu, they had the following question, Heichin Kama, how do we read the two options that the Chacham give us? Is it that Mifaru is going on both, or is Mifaru only going on the first one? As Mifaru Vizir L'Ruach, is it that one crumbles the Chametz, then one throws it to the wind, or Umifaru Matliam, and that you can crumble it and throw it to the sea, but each one needs crumbling before you get rid of it. Whereas Rabbi Huda says you could only burn it, they say you can disperse it, however, it has to be crumbled first. Or maybe not, no. Mifarer v'zer l'rach. One has to crumble it and throw it to the wind. That is only by throwing it to the wind that it has to be crumbled, because if you can throw it away whole, maybe someone else is going to find it and come to consume it. But it could be thrown into the sea, even whole, because it dissolves and it falls apart by itself. So therefore, when it's thrown into the sea, that does not have to be crumbled first. So the question was, is mifarer going on both, or is it only going on when you're throwing it to the wind? So the Gemara says, "V'tnan namik abavaydizara ke'agavna." We had a similar discussion regarding halacha of avaydizara, which is taught in the Mishnah Masechet Avaydizara. And that is, it's taught over there. Rabbi Yisi says, when one has to get rid of the avaydizara, the idol, shoychiki grinds it, v'zara l'ruach, and he throws it to the wind, or he throws it to the sea. V'ibaylu, and they had the following question: Heichi kama? What is Rabbi Yisi saying? Is it shoychik v'zara l'ruach, the one has to grind it and throw it to the wind? Or v'sheichik matliyam, or he has to grind it and throw it to the sea, but each one needs grinding beforehand. I did more, maybe they know. Sheichik v'zer l'rach, we grind it and you throw it to the wind. Ava matliyam bayinim, but when it's thrown into the sea, then it could be thrown incomplete. So we have a machlekes. Amar Rabba says that these two opinions are going to differentiate between avodah zarah and chametz, but each one's going to take a different opinion. Amar Rabba, Mistabra avodah zarah, it would make sense to say regarding the idol, the worship, that case of the Mishnah Masechet Avodah Zarah, L'yam ha-melech ka'azla, where there, when one is getting rid of the avodah zarah, which sea is it thrown into? It's thrown into the Yam ha-melech, the Dead Sea, as Tosfos says, that by avodah zarah we find throughout Shas, whenever it's mentioned, for example, as it's brought on the previous daf, that yoylech hanol l'yam ha-melech. When we say you have to get rid of the avodah zarah, you throw its worth into the Yam ha-melech. And therefore, whenever Yam is mentioned regarding avodah zarah, it's a reference to the Yam ha-melech. And therefore, Rabbah concludes, and he says, since the avodah zarah that we're getting rid of it is being thrown into the Yam ha-melech, loy bayishchika, there it would not require to be crushed first, because there's no ship that's going through in the Yam ha-melech in the Dead Sea, no ship is passing through, therefore there's no concern to have to grind it first, you could throw it in whole. Whereas chametz, l'shan haris kazal, whereas by chametz we don't find that the chametz has to be thrown necessarily into the Yam ha-melech, it could be thrown into any river, then bayipiru would have to be crumbled first, because maybe a boat is going to be traveling and they're going to bump into that piece of chametz you threw out to the water, and he's not going to realize it, and he's going to go ahead and attain that chametz, and therefore it's going to be oivan the iser. Therefore, when you're getting rid of the chametz, you have to first crumble it, whereas by avodah zarah, you do not. So he's resolving the question, depending on which case, avodah zarah you would not require, however, regarding chametz, you would require. So only Rabbi Yisrael said to Rabbah, and he argues, and he says, Adar Rabbah, to the contrary, Ipcha Mesabah makes sense the exact opposite of what you just said. Avodah zarah d'lema misa, regarding an idol which doesn't dissolve, a water is not going to dissolve an idol made out of wood, made out of metal. So therefore, bayishchika has to be ground down first before it's thrown into the river, into the water, because again, it's going to be whole, and that's a problematic. We have to eliminate it. Chametz, the name is, whereas by chametz, which is a piece of bread, which that dissolves, loy bayipir, that does not require to be crumbled for us. And therefore, although they're both giving different opinions regarding the same question of the Mishnah over here and the Mishnah in the avodah zarah, that one says one would require, another one wasn't, but they have opposite opinions. Whereas on the one hand, Rabbi says that avodah zarah does not have to because it's in the Yam ha-melech. Chametz has to because in every river, Rabbi Yosef says the exact opposite. He says that avodah zarah is not going to dissolve. You have to crush it. And chametz, which is going to dissolve, you do not have to crumble it first. So the Gemara says, Tanika Vasei Rabba. We have a Braisa that says, like Rabba, that he says the chametz needs to be crumbled before it's thrown into the water. And that is, again, when it says in our Mishnah that you have to crumble it first, it's going on both when it's throwing to the wind and into the water. And Tanya Kavas with the Rizzi, or Bryce like Rabbi Yisim, who says that Avodah Zarah has to be crushed first, not like Rabbah, who said that it doesn't have to be crushed. So the Gemara explained. Tanya Kavas with the Rabbah, we have a Bryce that says like Rabbah. It says over there, if someone was going in the desert, and he has chametz, and he has to eliminate it by Pesach time. So Mefar v'zoy l'ruach, he crumbles it and he throws it to the wind. If he was going on a ship, he crumbles and he throws into the sea. So you see clearly, like he said, that when it's being thrown into the sea of chametz, since it's thrown into any sea and people might bump into it, therefore you have to crumble it first. Tanika Basid Rav Yosef, we have a Brisa that says like Rav Yosef, which it says, if someone's going in the desert and he had an idol, he had a Avodah Zarah, he grinds it and he throws it to the wind. If he's going in the ship, so then he grinds it and throws it to the sea. Again, like Rav Yosef, who said by Avodah Zarah, since it's not going to dissolve on its own, it has to be crushed before and grinded before it's thrown into the sea. So the Gemara concludes and says, okay, so shchika is kashla rabba. The Bryce that says that grinding of Avodah Zarah is necessitated by when it's being thrown into the sea, that's a difficult according to Rabbah, who says it's not required. And Piru, and regarding crumbling the chametz that we find in the Braisa that's brought as a support to Rabbah, is Kashal Rav Yosef. That's according to Rav Yosef, who said that no, the chametz just dissolves on its own and it doesn't need to be crumbled. So the Gemara says, no, each one's not difficult to the other opinion. Shchikal Rabbah Lekasha, it's not difficult where we find that it says by Avodah Zarah it has to be ground, because the Mishnah in Avodah Zarah, that Rabbah holds that would not require, that the crushing is only going on when you're throwing it to the wind. But when you're throwing it to the sea, it would not be required. That is how he said before, that would be Liyam HaMelech. When you're throwing it to the Dead Sea, there no one's passing by. And therefore, that's not going to be required. But the Braisa that says that it's going to require Shechika, even when it's being thrown into the sea, that's Lashan Haras. That's the other rivers. And there Rabbah agreed. It's just that he assumed that anytime it says Yam, it means the Yam HaMelech. But you're right, if it's being thrown to other rivers, then he would agree by Avodah Zarah, it would have to be ground before it's thrown to the river. Purely Rabbi Yisrael Lekasha, and the case of crumbling of the chametz, that it's required before it's thrown into the sea, that's not difficult according to Rabbi Yisrael, because Ha Bechiti, the case where it says that you have to crumble it beforehand, is that it's talking about wheat that has already turned into chametz. In other words, when it says that you have to be mefarit, it doesn't mean crumbling it, it means you have to spread it out. That you shouldn't take a sack full of the wheat and throw it into the water, rather you have to spread it out in the water so that person cannot gather all of them from the face of the water. That's what's necessary. The Mishnah that says you don't, that he explains that you don't have to, is binahama, that's by bread. That is what he had said, that the bread dissolves on its own. It's not required to do pir. And the one that was contradictory to him that says you do have to do what it meant by when it's just pieces of wheat, which that's not going to dissolve. That's what it meant to crumble, it meant to spread it out, thereby not allowing a person to go ahead and collect. And therefore each price is not difficult according to either opinion. And again, those are their two opposite opinions regarding the question of our Mishnah and the Mishnah Masechta Avodah Zarah. We have opposing opinions, which one is the one that's required for pirur, or if it's not required for pirur. But however, again, the qualifications are, as our Gemara said, depending if it's Yam HaMelech or it's regarding what status is it, if it's in the status of wheat or in the status of bread. So we continue with the next Mishnah, talking about the Isra of Chametz. Chametz shel Nachri she'avar lav HaPesach, regarding the Chametz of a non-Jew that has bypassed the Yom Tov HaPesach, we're already post-Pesach, so the Halacha is Mutar B'Hana, that Chametz is permitted to derive pleasure from it. V'shel Yisrael, however, if it's a Jew's chametz that has gone through Pesach and it wasn't eliminated, Asa B'Hana is going to be forbidden from deriving pleasure from it. Shenema, like it says the pasuk in Shemais, Le'yiro l'chosar, that no living should be seen by you. And the Gemara explains what does this pasuk show regarding chametz Avol Av Pesach, that it's a penalty. That since he was over on this Issa, which is what we're bringing in the pasuk Le'yiro l'chosar, that he obviously had it. That's how it's here after Pesach, since he violated that Isser, so therefore we created this penalty to say that now after Pesach it's going to be Usser Bahano. But regarding the non-Jew, who there's no Isser for a non-Jew to have Chametz, after Pesach it's going to be Mutter Bahano. So now the Gemara goes and discusses to the end of this daf to inquire Mani Masni, who is the opinion of our Mishnah? And that is because Le'er Behuda, V'Le'er Reb Shimon, V'Le'er B'Yosei Galili. It's not like either one of these three opinions, which the Gemara is Mahi. Who are these three opinions that were saying that our Mishnah is not like either one of them? So the Gemara says, the Gemara quotes this entire Braisa. Chametz, regarding the halach of Chametz, bein lifnei zman, whether before the time, in other words, before the Yom Tov Pesach actually starts, which is from midday, from after midday, from 6 hours until the evening time, Bein la'achas mani, or whether after the time, in other words, after a Pesach has already passed, over a lav b'lav, one is going to transgress a negative prohibition if he eats the chametz. There's not going to be a einish of karis. That's only on Pesach itself. However, after the midday point on Erev Pesach and after Pesach, if one does consume the chametz, there's going to be a negative prohibition. And the Gemara later on will explain what is this lav. Toich zman, however, during the time, in other words, during the Yom Tov Pesach, then over lav b'lav karis. Then not only do you get a negative prohibition for eating the chametz, but one would chaz shalom get karis. That's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. We continue on to Amud Beis. Reb Shimon argues. He says, chametz lefnei zmani ul'achar zmani, if you eat it before the Yom Tov Pesach starts at night, from after the 6 hours of the day, or after Pesach, there is no law, there's no negative prohibition that one is violating by eating the chametz in that time. Toich zmani, however, during the Yom Tov Pesach, then one would be transgressing the negative prohibition and something that would also require him getting the einish of karas. Then the Braisa continues, which the Gemara momentarily will say that this is not a continuation of Rabbi Shimon's opinion, but it's from Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. And from the time when the chametz becomes forbidden from consuming, which that's from 6 hours and later, as we said, that lefnei zmanoi, which again is Rabbi Yehuda's opinion, is with a lav, then it's aser b'hanah. Then it's already becoming aser b'hanah, not just forbidden to eat it, but even this isa hanah, which the Gemara explains, asan l'tanakam, which that goes according to the opinion of the Tanakama. Again, as we said, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda that there is a lav lefnei zmanis. So that was just a clarification, not just that there's isra achila, but there's even isra hanah. Now the Braiser continues to the third opinion. He says, Tama l'atzmacha. You got to wonder about what you're saying, both you, Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Shimon. Hey, chametz aser b'hanah kol shiva. How is chametz aser b'hanah all 7 days of Pesach? In other words, he was saying that even toich hamoed, even during Pesach, it's mutar b'hanah. And he was wondering about all the other opinions to say that they're arguing whether before or after, but during Yom Tov, everyone agrees. How can you say that? Why is there isra of hanah even during the Yom Tov of Pesach? So the Braisa continues. How do you know that if someone eats chametz from 6 hours and later on Erev Pesach, that he transgresses a negative prohibition? Like it says the pasuk in Devarim, that one should not eat chametz on it, which that alav is a reference to the time of the shechita, of the slaughtering of the carbon Pesach, which is from the 6 hours and later, which is when the sun starts moving towards the west. From that time of Allah on the Karban Pesach, when you're already slaughtering it, then one cannot consume chametz, and therefore that's Allah say div Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Amalei Rabbi Shimon says to Rabbi Yehuda, he argues and he says, can you really interpret the pasuk the way you just said it, that Allah is a reference to the time of the Shechita and that there's an Issa of eating chametz even before nighttime from when it's already past noon? But v'halikfar nemar, the pasuk already says, le'seichel alav chametz, yes, that's what it says over there in that part of the pasuk, but read on. Shivas yamim toichel olav matzah. Again, the same word olav. That for 7 days you should eat matzah on that. Now, when is there a mitzvah to eat matzah? That's only once Pesach starts at nighttime. So how can you say that it's a reference to Erev Pesach? So imkain, but then you're going to ask matam aloy maloy toichel olav chametz. What is it teaching you then that you can't eat chametz on it? That's as I could show you from what the pasuk ends off to say bishoshi yeshne bekum achol matzah. When there's a positive commandment to go ahead and eat matzah, then yeshne mebal toichel chametz. That is when there is a prohibition of eating chametz. Ubishoshi ain't bekum achol matzah. But however, at a time when there is no positive commandment to eat matzah, which is any time from before the evening of Pesach, then ain't mebal toichel chametz. Then there is no negative prohibition of eating chametz. And therefore, Reb Shimon argues in Reb Yehuda and he says that there is no isra of eating chametz from Mishay Shoy Salmal Nerv Pesach, only at nighttime when the Yom Tov Pesach starts. So this is the end of the quote of the Braisa. And now the Gemara will explain the Braisa to ultimately to ask which one of the three opinions can be the opinion of our Mishnah. So the Gemara asks, my time at Reb Yehuda, what is the understanding of Reb Yehuda's opinion that he says that there's an isra to eat chametz Erev Pesach, after Pesach, and during Pesach? So the Gemara says, Tlosha Kroiksiv, because there are three psukim that each one is telling us one of these three isurim. The pasuk in Shemais that says, Lo ye ochil chametz, chametz should not be eaten. We have another pasuk in Shemais that says, B'chom achmetzes lo yisechilu, that anything that has been fermented should not be eaten. And we have a pasuk in Devarim that says, Lo yisechil lo chametz, that chametz should not be eaten on it. So therefore, we have three psukim. So, Chad lefnei zman, one is telling you that it's us to eat it before the Yom Tov Pesach. which is b'shei shoyis l'mala. V'chad la'achas man, one is after the yamtiv of Pesach, and v'chad la'achas man, and one is during the yamtiv of Pesach. That's his three sources from those three psukim. However, the Gemara said, Reb Shimon, what does he do? He said there's only Isra on during Pesach, but not before and after. So he says, you're right. Chad l'teich zmane. There is one pasuk that teaches you the Isra of eating chametz during the Yom Tov of Pesach. That's as he said, lo yisleich alalav, that you shouldn't eat on it, which compares to the Shabbos Yom of eating matzah, which is during the Yom Tov of Pesach, this is Isra of eating chametz. However, regarding the other two psukim, he learns them to tell you other things. They're not extra to tell you that before Pesach and after Pesach. Because v'chom achmetzis mibayilei, the pasuk of anything that's fermented, he needs to teach a different halacha for even during Pesach. Like we learn in the Braisa. Inli elishens chametz me'elav, I would only know that the isra of eating chametz is something that became chametz on its own. It's intrinsically something that has fermentation. For example, a piece of bread. However, machmas davar achamenayin, how do we know that if it became chametz by being fermented through something else that was placed into this food item, how do you know that that is also included in the isra of eating chametz? Tamalem, that's what the pasuk teaches you. That anything that is fermented cannot be eaten, which means to say that even though it's not intrinsic to itself chametz, but it becomes chametz from something else, would also be forbidden to eat. And regarding the other pasuk of lo yaochel chametz, that chametz should not be eaten, mibayla, he needs to teach you a different halacha. Like we learned in the Braisa. Rabbi Yosef Lili says, minayin lePesach Mitzrayim, how do we know regarding the first Pesach that the Jewish people ever celebrated in Mitzrayim itself, in Egypt, she'ein chimutzi noyheg, that they did not accustom themselves to the Isra of Chametz, Eliyam Echad, they didn't have like our Pesach that there's Isra of Chametz 7 days, they only had the Isra of Chametz on one day. How do you know that? Tamalem, that's what that Pasuk is teaching, lo ye'ochel Chametz. It says over there in the Pasuk that Chametz should not be eaten, v'samech lei, and then right near it, it's the Pasuk says, hayyoy matam yoytzim, today you're going out of Egypt, which is telling you that not to eat Chametz today, only today, but not for all 7 days, and therefore that's what the Pasuk is teaching you, but not to that one to tell you before and after Pesach. But then the Gemara says, Rabbi Huda, what does he do? Because he's using them to teach before and after. So how does he know these two halachas, one regarding the Isra of even if it's fermented through something else, and regarding the Pesach and Mitzrayim that was just one day? So the Gemara says, Machmas Dava Achim Enole, how does he know that the Isra of Chametz is even if it was fermented through something else? So he says, you write that the Pasuk is, that there's an extra Pasuk teaching you before Pesach, but Mida'afgir Achman, the Beloshin Machmetzis. It didn't have to use the format of saying machmetzes, which it's telling you a connotation of that it was fermented through something else. The reason why it does it in that term is to say also in that other halacha that even if it becomes chametz through something else, but the actual pasuk is an extra pasuk to teach you the halacha of before and after Pesach. But then the Rabbi Yosef Lili Menale, how does he know the halacha of Rabbi Yosef Lili that by Pesach Mitzrayim it was only one day if he needs that pasuk to tell you the before and after Pesach? So the Gemara gives two approaches. If you want, you could say midesamech lehayim, from the fact that it said nearby, the juxtaposition of hayim to that pasuk is teaching you that it was only hayim. But again, the pasuk itself is an excess to teach you the halacha before and after. Additionally to that, it says near it hayim to teach you that halacha, but not that it's only coming to tell you the smichas of hayim. And Ibaisim, if you want, you could say that smuchen leidarsh, that he does not darshan Rabbi Huda juxtapositions of psukim, and that is Rabbi Huda only learned smuchim, that to learn, to make a drasha from the fact that it says two things near each other, only in Mishneh Torah and Sefer Devarim. And as the Gemara Masechta Zivah Masdaf Dal says, whereas in the rest of the Torah, he does not make such a drasha. And therefore, he does not hold the halacha of Birsa Glili. Birsa Glili's chiddush was saying that, oh, it's only one day from the fact that it says Hayyam. How does he know that? He doesn't know that, because he doesn't even learn that drasha, because he doesn't darshan smuchim in the rest of the Torah besides Mishneh Torah. And that is why it's not a question of where does he know it from. He actually doesn't make that drasha. Now the Gemara goes back to explain the Braisa. Amamar, the Tana had said, quoting this Braisa, "Uminayin loichel chametz mishei shoyis l'mala." How do you know that there is going to be an isra of consuming chametz from six hours and on during the day of erev Pesach? Shu'ayv b'loisa say that one will transgress a negative prohibition. Shenem loichel chametz, as we said, that chametz should not be eaten on it. Div Rabbi Huda, who Rabbi Huda was saying, that's during the time of when the Karban Pesach is slaughtered. So Amalei Rabbi Shimon responded to him, "V'chayav shalom again. Can you say such a thing that it's in reference to Erev Pesach?" But Valikva Nema, the pasuk in its entirety says, "Leisechel of chametz, chametz should not be eaten on it. Shivas yom teichel of matzah, for 7 days matzah should be eaten," which tells you that it's only during the time of when matzah is eaten at nighttime, not on Erev Pesach. So the Gemara asks, Rabbi Yehuda, Shaper Kamal Rabbi Shimon. It seems to be a good taina that Rabbi Shimon has on him that it's only at nighttime. So how actually does he learn Leisoich Lav Chametz Toman in Erev Pesach? So the Gemara said, Rabbi Yehuda Amalach, Rabbi Yehuda would respond to you. Hahu, that comparison to Shavuos Yom Tov Teichel Matzahs, it was coming to teach a different halacha, that to establish an obligation of even today that we are required to eat matzah. And that is, when it says Shavuos Yomim Teichel of Matzahs, it wasn't coming to compare it to the prohibition of chametz, to the mitzvah of eating matzah, that, oh, just like eating matzah is only by night, as Reb Shimon wanted to say, so too the issa of eating chametz is only at nighttime. Rather, it was coming to compare them the other way around, to compare the eating of matzah to the negative prohibition of eating chametz, and to say that the obligation to eat matzah for the future generations, as long as you're not allowed to eat chametz, is and that's even today when there's no carbon Pesach, because the issa of chametz is not dependent on the mitzvah of eating the carbon Pesach. Therefore, is the mitzvah of eating matzah would also apply even today, and that is because you would think, it says in the pasuk, matzah semerayim yechluhu. Where do we learn that techiyev of eating matzah? Regarding the Karban Pesach, as we do with Kairach, that they would eat the matzah together with the Karban Pesach. So, therefore, I would think to say that, oh, when there's a mitzvah of Karban Pesach, then you eat matzah. But if not, not. That's why Yehuda says we have to compare the eating of chametz and the eating of matzah to say, as long as you're not allowed to eat chametz, which is even in future generations, because that has nothing to do, it's primarily just with the mitzvah of Pesach. Therefore, the eating of matzah, although it is generally was part of the mitzvah of eating of the Karban Pesach, al matzah merim yachluhu, that the Pesach should be eaten with matzah mar, the Chiddush is saying that even today when there's an issa of eating chametz, is that there's going to be a mitzvah of eating matzah, but not to tell you that it's only at nighttime as the mitzvah of matzah. But however, it's not true that the issa of eating chametz is even from Sheishos Lamala on Erev Pesach. Then the Gemara goes back and asks, Reb Shimon, how does he know that there's an obligation even today to eat matzah if he's using this pasuk not to teach that Chiddush Reb Yehuda is saying that even today because we're comparing it to chametz, rather we're learning chametz from matzah as he learns. On that the Gemara answers, Nafkele, he learns it from a different pasuk in Shemais that says, from Be'erv Toichlu. It says in the pasuk, Be'erv Toichlu matzahs. In the evening, one should eat matzahs, which is the extra pasuk, because it already said, A matzah merim yachluhu. So what's that coming to teach? To say that it's its own individual mitzvah, not dependent on the carbon of Pesach. And even today, when there's no carbon Pesach, there's a mitzvah to eat matzah. But Rabbi Huda, he would respond to you that from Be'erv Toichlu, that wouldn't be teaching that. Rather, Miboyle, he needs that pasuk to teach a different halacha, letame, for someone that is richly impure, and he was far away from the Beis HaMikdash, that he couldn't bring a carbon Pesach, that in spite of that, he's still going to be obligated in the mitzvah of matzah. And that is, although, as we said, generally the mitzvah of matzah is part of the mitzvah of Pesach, as in matzah merim yachluhu, it had to teach for when he cannot bring the carbon Pesach, that still, be'erv teichel matzah, he'll still have the mitzvah of eating the matzah. And that is why, because I mean, I would have thought to say since he's not eating the carbon Pesach, because again, he's telling me it's far away, matzah mar, namen le'nechel, so therefore he should not be obligated to eat matzah mar either, because as we said, it's al matzah mar milchlu, it's said together, k'mash malon, that was the chiddush of Erev Teichel Matzah, is to teach you, not like Reb Shimon, that's teaching you even bizman hazeh, because that he knows from the comparison of chametz and matzah, rather coming to teach you regarding the tummy and shahoy b'derech rechayka, that they still have a chiv to eat matzah. Whereas Reb Shimon, he would respond to you that no, I do not need a pasuk to show that a tummy and someone that was far away that they cannot bring the Karban Pesach that he has to eat matzah. Because we would know it by definite, by logic, without having to bring it from the pasuk. Because someone that's far or tummy is not any worse than someone that's uncircumcised, who because his brothers had died due to their circumcision, which therefore we can't do the meal on him. But however, he's not allowed to partake from the Karban Pesach. But however, he is, as the Gemara is going to demonstrate, mechuyev in the mitzvah of matzah. Uben Necher, and similarly, the one that's tamei shay b'derech rechayka is not any worse than a stranger, which Rashi explains to mean that he's a stranger with his actions to his father in heaven, which means to say he's not shomer all the Torah mitzvahs, but he's not to the entirety of Torah. However, he's considered a stranger. The chsiv that it says regarding these individuals, it says a pasuk in Shemayis b'chol ara lo yechol ba'i, that no person that's uncircumcised should not eat from the Karban Pesach. So it says, boy hu eina oichel. What can he not eat? This oral and this ben necher. He cannot eat the Karban Pesach. Aval oichel hu b'matzah mar, but he eats the matzah mar. Now, if we're going to say that an oral and ben necher who are much lower status, that they can eat the matz, they're supposed to eat matzah mar. It's just the Karm Pesach they don't, most definitely, although he's not eating the Karm Pesach, is definitely going to be eating matzah mar, and I don't need Be'er Toichel Matzahs to teach us them. But then the Gemara responds, V'Reb Yehuda, however, what would he say? Although it sounds like that it definitely we should know it from Oral and Ben Eicher, why would we need Be'er Toichel to teach you Tamei Yishai B'Dei Chachayka Dei Chachayva Matzah? K'siv B'hai, it says the obligation to eat matzah by the Oral and Ben Eicher. V'Ksiv B'hai, and it says also by the Tamei and the one that was in the far distance that they have to, that they should eat matzah, that although you're right, we would be able to learn it from Oral Ben Eicher, however, the Pasuk felt it necessary to teach both individually, one from Be'er Toichlu and one from the Pasuk of V'chal Oral Lo Yechabai, and it says them individually. So that is the conclusion of the discussion of this brisa, where we brought down these three opinions. Now the Gemara concludes. Mani, and therefore, Mani must need, who is the town of our Mishnah? Again, our Mishnah had said that the chametz shavol of a Pesach of Yisrael is aser, but the chametz that went past, that went over the Pesach, owned by an Andrew, is going to be mutter. So the Gemara goes through all three opinions and shows how, logically, neither one could be the opinion of our Mishnah, because Irbi Yehuda, if the town of a Mishnah is Rabbi Yehuda, chametz tamar kamer, he said, not differentiating whose chametz it is, that it's going to be aser after Pesach, afil denachi. Even if it's the non-Jews, he says all chametz after Pesach is aser. Yet our Mishnah says that if it's the non-Jews, it's going to be mutter. V'ir b'shimen if the town of a Mishnah is Rabbi Shimon continuing to tap of chavtesim and aleph, the Yisrael nami mishnah kashari. He says even the Jews' chametz is mutter b'hano, he said la'achar zmane after Pesach, which is not like our Mishnah, which said the Yisrael's chametz is aser b'hano. And finally, v'ir b'yisek lili, if the town of a Mishnah is b'yisek lili, for sure he cannot be the time of a Mishnah. Because I feel like Techzmani Nami Mishnah Kosher Bahano. He says, even during Pesach, the Chametz is Mutter Bahano. And our Mishnah definitely is not saying that, because saying even after Pesach, the Chametz of Yisrael is going to be Asur Bahano. Therefore, the Gemara says, who is the time of a Mishnah? It can't be either one of them, which differentiate and says that the Chametz of Pesach of Yisrael is Asur, and the Chametz of Pesach of Anachri is going to be Mutter.